Hi, my name's Lauren Farriker, and I am the host of the Wolf Life Podcast. If it's your first time here, we are a podcast that is dedicated to everything dog. Let's see what we have in store this week.
I'm your host, Lauren Farriker, and I'm so excited today to share this conversation that I had with Jeffrey Rudolph, who is the president of the California Science Center here in Los Angeles. The California Science Center is host right now to Dogs a Science Tale, and I've gotten a chance to chat with Jeff both at the premiere of Superpower Dogs and going to Dogs a Science Tale, which if you are in LA, I highly recommend checking out this incredible exhibit. It talks about the incredible relationship and the evolution of dogs from wolves. Okay, that's neither here nor there. But let me tell you about this conversation that I'm having with Jeff Rudolph. It's about the story of his dog, Amos. Amos was an incredible dog that Jeff got when he was at Berkeley and then went with him to school in Yale, and the dog was a fixture in all of the classes that he had, and it's just an incredible story. And he was such a fixture on campus that when it came time for Jeff and his classmates to graduate, Amos was actually honored within that graduation celebration. Nothing is official. This is a dog, but this dog was actually read a commendation and was handed a fake diploma in air quotes from Yale to celebrate, his success and all of his involvement while at the school. I'm so excited for you guys to hear this incredible conversation with Jeff Rudolph.
From what memory serves, he went to classes with you, not at Berkeley, but it sounded like it's at Yale.
And yeah, he actually went to class for 3 years at Berkeley.
Okay, got it. He did go to class.
But that wasn't enough to graduate, only 3 years. So then when I went to Yale, he went for all 2 years of our graduate school.
And
he was very much a part of the class. And when it came time for graduation, the dean approached me and said that they wanted to give him an honorary degree.
Oh, wow.
And so the dean's assistant actually made him a cap. A ribbon to tie around. And,
wow.
So he went to graduation, and at graduation, well, the rest of us were just talked about generally and didn't even go up to get our degrees. We got them later off the table. They called up Amos and read a citation. And he went up, and the degree was nicely rolled up like a scroll, and the assistant dean, director of professional studies, handed it to him, and he took it in his mouth and then walked away. So cute.
Oh, my gosh. What kind of dog was Amos?
Amos was mostly golden retriever. He was three-quarters golden retriever, a quarter Samoyed.
Wow. So smart dog.
Very smart dog and very socialized. You know, his whole life he was with people, and he went to school, you know, as I said, at Berkeley for 3 years and then Yale. So he was just used to being around people. But he learned a lot, and he knew what was going on in class by sensing what other people were doing. So he became a sender of messages to the faculty who knew him.
Wow.
If he was in class and everything was fine, he'd just sit there, lie down next to me, and go to sleep. But when the class got really boring, he knew. I think because he'd sense everyone discomfort and shuffling around or talking to each other, whatever. And he had a habit then of getting up and walking to the front of the class, lying down and rolling over on his back.
Wow.
Which became something that most of the faculty in the school knew. And so if they saw that, they knew that they had lost the class. Some of them would say something. It was quite funny.
Wow. That's so
interesting. I mean, I'll actually try to figure out a way to send you the citation that was read. But the, you know, so in it, they said his nonverbal feedback to professors and students became a measure of success or failure in the classroom, unmatched by any other.
That's absolutely incredible. That's so funny that he actually kind of integrated himself into the class, too, and had a presence.
Yeah, he totally did. It was really amazing. And similarly, if a class went on too long, he would sense that, and he'd typically then get up and go up to the front so he was seen and stretch and then walk out and push the door open and leave.
Wow.
He just had this, and, you know, I think I wouldn't say he was the smartest dog ever. I think it's just the socialization that dogs have amazing abilities. And they have been, what the exhibit tries to focus on is how they, this bond between humans and dogs, and how, you know, thousands of years they've learned and they watch us and learn from us and really pay tremendous attention to the humans that they live with. And so
completely.
This in his case was a bigger group in the pack that he paid attention to, and he learned from observation and watching, like probably most dogs in that situation would.
Wow. And how old was Amos when you were kind of going through school, or did you recently get him? Like, he was kind of brought up in the classroom environment, or he just kind of adapted?
He was a young dog, just under a year old when one of my college roommates at Berkeley's family had him, and they just decided he was too much. He was a big dog, and when he was young, he had a lot of energy, and they didn't have the time to give him enough exercise and walk, and so he moved into our house, actually, and with a few other roommates, and I ended up the one who, of the group that was there when he moved in, we all sort of shared him, but he, I stayed longer than anyone, so he became mine. But he used to go to class with whoever felt like taking him any day. At Berkeley, he'd just go to class and he'd learn, very quickly learn our schedules, so that he would sometimes he'd go and sit in class, sometimes he'd stand outside if he wasn't going into a classroom. And he would wait for an hour, hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, till we got out. But after the year started, or the quarter started, he'd learn our class schedule somewhat, which was, I actually think, pretty amazing. But there were a few times where one of us, like I would take him and go into a class, and when I came out, I can't find them. We didn't have cell phones then either. But find out later that he had gone off and gone to the class that another one of my roommates was at and met them when they came
out. Wow. That's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. And actually, the story of where I think the dean, when he got his honorary degree, I think the story was, this was back at Yale, and there was a big, huge snowstorm. That closed down the whole city. And I was out with three of my friends walking around enjoying the snowstorm with Amos. And we walked by our school and saw one light on. We said, oh, someone's in the school. Let's go see what's up. And it was the dean. And he said, have you guys had dinner yet? And we said, no. And he said, well, let's go have dinner. And the only place that was open was there was a hotel downtown, because it was a hotel that was open. Their restaurant was on the top floor. And so we left Amos outside, went up to dinner, and it took us about 3 hours because it was so packed and crowded. It's the only place.
Oh, wow.
Came back out, and Amos was standing there with about 3 inches of snow on his back. And that really, that got the dean to pay attention because he hadn't really noticed as much, and he started talking to all the staff and faculty and students and said, oh, he's got to get a degree.
Wow. That's when the dean realized that it was quite a special dog. Okay, got it. Interesting. And what were you studying?
Management or business.
Okay.
At the time, his degree is a master's degree in public and private management. These days, they changed it to call it an MBA.
Got it. Cool. Awesome. It's pretty funny. It reminds me of Ricochet, where just very emotionally dialed in, all of those kind of things, where she just understands everything. That kind of loyalty is pretty incredible. To hear that, especially in a college environment where that can be a little chaotic. There's so many people, but that kind of level of focus, that's pretty incredible.
It is, but again, as you mentioned, Ricochet, also a golden retriever, right? But
yep.
I think that it's dogs, as we've said, have really evolved to do that. And some more than others, perhaps, but... it's in their nature to want to be with people.
Yeah. And I think surrounding that pack, because your class for an MBA, I mean, how big was your class?
It was about 50 people.
Okay.
It wasn't overly large, and that probably helped too, that it was fairly small and we got to know everyone.
Yeah, it's not like a lecture group of like 600. I mean, that's going to be easier for...
It's a small program. Although at Berkeley, there are huge classes.
Got it. It's very also funny as a story because obviously now there's service animals, but I don't know if this story could exist now because people are so... different about dogs and leashes and all of that, where it sounds like Amos kind of had free reign.
Well, yeah, but I will say it was a lot less common then. Now I think it's almost more likely that you'd see dogs because kids will say they need them for emotional support and bring their dogs and all that. In those days, it was pretty unusual. And when I first got to Yale, there was one professor that thought it was ridiculous to let a dog come to his class. He was the accounting professor, surprise, surprise.
That does not shock me in the least. I went to business school.
Okay. But interestingly enough, by the second semester, he invited Amos into a class that I wasn't even in. He's teaching and he walks in the door and he says, come on in, Amos.
Wow. That's so great. That's awesome. How old did Amos get? And I mean, how was his transition post his diploma and all of that?
He lived to 14.
Oh, wow.
And you know, he had a great life. As all of us do, he slowed down as he got older.
Yep.
And that's okay because life circumstances changed. When he was going to school every day, he got so much exercise and he was out and about and all that. And then when I got a real job myself, I couldn't take him with me all the time. So I would get him out on walks and do all that a lot, but it wasn't the same spending all day running around the campus.
Yeah, no, seriously. That must have been funny because he has to adjust to the new schedule too when you take your jobs, like your job, and so he has to adjust to kind of being more like a traditional dog as opposed to getting the free rein and kind of everything that he had.
Yeah, but he adjusted well. And as I said, as he was getting older, it became easier to do because he slept more, like dogs
yep.
do. But it's interesting to contrast that. You know, with one of my dogs now, named Buddy, is not that. I adopted him later in life. He was 3 when I adopted him. Still a young and very energetic dog.
Yep.
And he's been an at-home dog when I come to work. But when I brought him to our Discovery Ball this year, our annual dinner, which we were celebrating the opening of the dogs exhibit, and folks like Shell and our events people and everybody said, you have to bring Buddy. And I brought him, and I'll tell you, even though he's not seeing people all the time in that social life, he absolutely got it. He sensed it. He seemed to immediately understand the environment, and he was so well behaved. And I mean, maybe we can send a picture of Buddy on stage. He went up on stage with me, and he just sat there looking proud.
So cute.
Running around. I was afraid, truly, that, oh, no, he's going to run around and beg for food from people's tables or whatever. But he did. He was fantastic.
That would have been kind of funny, though, for your fundraising efforts or anything like that.
Yeah. So I think dogs do have amazing abilities, and we often underestimate them.
I completely agree, which I really do think that the what I love the most about your exhibit, The Dogs, The Science Tale, was just kind of seeing the extraordinary abilities that dogs
mm-hmm.
have that you almost kind of lose sight of because they're around you every day, if that makes any sense.
No, it totally makes sense. And you know, again, as much as I've had dogs my whole life, I learned a lot working on this exhibit and with it. And it made me, and it, some of the things we learned in some of our advisors made me think differently. You know, Alexander Horowitz, who was one of our advisors, fantastic. I remember her talking about taking her dog on a smell walk and that she lets the dog really do what dogs do, which is smell everything and observe it and not pull the dog along. Let the dog enjoy it.
Yeah.
You really walk, taking it, if you're doing the walk for the dog, not for yourself, you do that. So I think about things like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely, you have, especially if they are cooped up and all of that, you need to allow them to kind of even get in touch with their environments and senses. And so, like, Pixie, my dog, has the cutest attribute. She doesn't smell anything except for really flowers, and she will very diligently go along and smell all of the flowers individually. And so every walk with her is just walking through and seeing all the flowers. It's pretty cute, and it's very unique. I've never met another dog that really does that.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's very fun. I think that the other part of the exhibit that made me chuckle the most is that most people in a community, like, you know other dog owners, but
mm-hmm.
you kind of only know them based off of the dog's name. So it's during the part where you're kind of walking through and seeing how everyone interacts, it cracks me up that I think it was, oh, hi, Buddy's person, because it's so true. You don't know anyone's names except for them through that dog.
Yeah, that's really true. That was one of the things. That was actually an interesting exhibit in terms of its development, because that was a message we were really trying to figure out how to do, and I'm glad you appreciated that we got that.
I was with my friend, and I, like, just stopped and chuckled because I was like, that's just a dog, like, a dog mom truth, is that you know everyone's names, the dogs, but you don't know any human. So we had a situation where there was an elderly dog in the neighborhood, and she became sick, and I had no idea what the human's name was to give her flowers or kind of know. But I think that that's part of what's kind of incredible about dogs, is that you do kind of connect to people through them, even if they are somewhat strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Great.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for this.
What a fun interview with Jeff Rudolph talking about the incredible story of Amos. Such a feel-good story, and I so appreciated hearing something that I still am trying to grapple with, whether that could exist this day and age with a dog being completely off-leash and being able to navigate an entire campus and kind of coming and going as he pleases. From classes, so I'm in awe of that story. And for anyone that is, you know, asking the question kind of more technically, this dog does not actually have an honorary degree from Yale. This is something that I think that it's a feel-good piece, that it's there to make people smile. I think that this was a lighthearted addition that they made to the graduation to celebrate this incredible dog that had been a part of the entire experience for those graduates. And so I think it's just such a fun story. And I would encourage for anyone that is in the Los Angeles area, please feel free to check out Dogs a Science Tale. Such a great exhibit talking and really, really, you do learn a lot about dogs. The only thing to note is that this is an exhibit that is for humans to learn more about dogs. Please do not bring your canine companions to it. But also, when you're at Dogs a Science Tale, feel free to check out Superpower Dogs. In the next couple of weeks, we're actually going to have an interview with Daniel Ferguson, the writer and director of Superpower Dogs. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of The Wolf Life Show. Have a good one and give your dog a really big hug and kiss for us. Thanks so much.